This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to English with Fraser, the weekly podcast for intermediate English learners who are serious about improving. Whether you're brushing up or building your confidence, join me each week for real conversations, smart tips, and the touch of that British charm. Let's level up your English one episode at a time. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to English with Fraser, the podcast where we explore British culture, world adventures, and occasionally take our stiff upper lip somewhere far more scenic. And this series is exactly what we're going to do. So this is going to be a 5-part special on my recent trip to Beijing, China. Absolutely fantastic trip. And I thought so much happened. I saw so many things, made some memories, ate different food, that one episode would not do it justice. So I went on this trip with my girlfriend, who is Chinese, Keja. So she obviously helped translate a lot of things and helped me through the journey to make it even more enjoyable. So big thanks to her. And today is part one. And where to start with part one? Well, of course, we had to start with the Great Wall. We're heading out of the city, into the mountains, to walk on something truly legendary, the Great Wall of China.
Built to keep invaders out and now attracting travellers in. Irony at its finest, old boy.
When people imagine the Great Wall, they often think of the crowded sections near Beijing, packed with tourists, selfie sticks, and umbrellas, of course, because even in the summer, Chinese often love to wear umbrellas to keep them shaded from the sun so they don't tan too much. Whereas us Westerners, me included, quite like to have nice brown tan skin, although I admit I do not tan very well at all. But we decided to go further out. And let me tell you, it was absolutely worth the 2-hour coach ride. So we visited two of the most beautiful, rugged, and most importantly, less touristy parts of the wall. That's Tsima Tai and Jinxianling.
They say you can see the Great Wall from space, but frankly, I was more impressed seeing it from halfway up, gasping, wheezing, and questioning every biscuit I've ever eaten. Still, not bad for an English bulldog, eh?
So, let's start with Tsima Tai, because this is the one we first went to. Now, we went here on the Monday and arrived on the Saturday, so quite early in the trip. It was an early start, so we had to get on the coach for 9 a.m. and the coach was waiting at one of the subway stations in Beijing. We actually left a little bit late, sort of like 8:20, and had to rush to get to this subway station. I think we had to go through 5 or 6 stops until we arrived. And when we arrived, it was 9:05. And we were rushing to get there. And it was the longest exit on any subway station I've experienced in my whole life. Now, Tsimatai is known as the Night Wall. It's famous for its steepness, its mystical beauty, and the fact that at night time, it does in fact light up. And it's the only section of the Great Wall that allows night visits, because as you can imagine, other sections would be far too dangerous at night if they're not illuminated. In any event, we went during the day, but we did catch a glimpse of the wall at night before we left, as the coach went back at 8 p.m. so we could see the wall in all its beauty at night. And at night, the atmosphere certainly does change. It's lit with soft amber lights, and the silhouettes of the towers against the night sky really make you feel like you've stepped in to an ancient dream.
Nothing like moonlight on Ming's stonework to stir the British soul. If I'd had a cigar and a flask of whiskey, I might have proposed to someone on the spot.
So, to get into this section of the wall, you have to pass through Gubei Water Town, or Beijing W Town, as I saw it was called on my phone after I'd taken some photos at the location. Now, the Water Town in itself was a trip, so I'm going to talk about this in a later episode. But let me say, the combination of a lakeside village and moonlit Great Wall was absolutely unforgettable. Now, this section of the wall, the terrain is certainly no joke, and some parts were almost vertical. It's less restored than other parts, giving it a real raw and adventurous feel. Now, upon climbing the wall, we decided to get the cable car up. So this meant we got the cable car up the mountain in one short journey up to, I think, section 6 of 13 of this part of the wall. So often it is with the Great Wall is they have towers, and these towers have numbers. So this section had 1 to 13, and then we got the cable car to 6. I mean, I kind of regret this. It would have been nice to walk up, but getting the cable car back down was certainly the right decision, because by that time we were so tired, so knackered, as we say in English, that it just felt the right decision. Although the cable car was so expensive. Now, the cable car, they had another cable car at Jinxianling Wall, but this one was a lot cheaper. Now, the one at Tsimatai, I think for the two of us, I think it was 300 yuan for two of us, just for one way. So there and back was like 600 yuan, which is like £60, which is like 70 euros. So expensive. Now, that was a rip-off, as we say. Far too expensive. And we regret getting the cable car up, but as I said before, the cable car on the way down felt like an absolute must.
Tsimatai, my dear Fraser, is not for the faint of heart or the stout of leg. One minute you're admiring the view, the next you're clinging to a stone staircase that looks like it was built by mountain goats with a death wish. Glorious stuff.
Now, let me describe what it actually felt like to walk along this incredible stretch of the Great Wall. The section we hiked was like a dream. The wall snaked across emerald green mountains that seemed to go on forever. I stood near a high watchtower, hands on my hip, catching my breath, and all around me was silence except for the wind rustling through the trees below. The stone path beneath my feet was uneven, ancient, and full of character. Worn down by time, footsteps, but still proud, still standing, and heaped in history.
Like an old war general with a few battle scars, and still refusing to retire.
And that's the beauty of the wall. There's just so many places you can stop and just take in the view. Take a moment, take a minute, look around you. A 360 view, a panoramic view of just gorgeous nature. The view really was unbelievable. And I'm thinking of making the podcast art for this episode. Just one of the photos, one of many photos I took, that we took at the top of the wall. Just because it just looks so good. Now, once you turn around, you can see the wall behind you, zigzagging into the misty horizon, like the backbone of a dragon. It was peaceful, majestic, but you could also sense the weight of history pressing into every brick. And also it made you admire and also feel for, compassionately, for those Chinese slaves and other builders that were made to make the wall, that were forced to bring the bricks up to the wall all those years ago. But thank you for your hard work, because it's all worth it now. And we got some nice photos together. There was a nice Vietnamese man who took our photo for us, so we have a photo of us with our arms outstretched at the top of the wall. And the weather on this day was incredible. Warm, hot, of course, 30 degrees, but not too humid, unlike our next trip to the wall, I'll describe shortly. And it really was a moment that will stay with me forever. Just that pure joy and freedom at the top of the wall.
She looked like she could have floated off into the sky if she was not careful. If she had, I would have had to launch a rescue mission. Bulldog Squadron.
Now to our second trip to the wall. Now, why did we go twice? The reason we went back, it wasn't actually planned to visit, but the reason was The first time we went on the Monday, just enjoyed it so much. Even though it was tiring, even though we walked 20,000 steps, it just felt so rewarding and so breathtaking to be at the top of the wall. So then we went to Jinxianling, which is another part of the wall, located some 130 kilometers away from Beijing. And that's also nestled in the mountains of Hebei province. Now, this section of the wall is partly restored, partly wild. You get the best of both worlds. Preserved battlements and watchtowers, but also untouched stretches with crumbling stones that whisper stories from centuries past. We walked along winding paths that rose and fell like a giant stone. The views, absolutely breathtaking. You look out and see layers upon layers of mountain ridges stretching into the distance, with the wall snaking through them and the view never ending.
It's like watching the empire unfold from above, minus the cannon fire and with better snacks.
One of the most memorable moments from this section of the wall, was standing in the watchtower as the wind howled through the gaps in the bricks. Felt like time stood still. Now, unfortunately, on this section, on this strip, the weather was just far too hot and humid. The air was moist, sticky. I think it was only 30 degrees, but sincerely felt like a 40 degrees summer's day. Now, Jinshanling was originally built in the Ming Dynasty around the 16th century and designed to be strong, with over 60 watchtowers in just 10 kilometers. And you can see how they use the terrain to create the ultimate defense system and stop any, at the time, Mongol invasions. Actually, we met some Mongolian chaps on the first trip, and they were incredibly nice. So shout out to those guys. And then there was also a large gentleman, to put it politely. But to be fair to him, he kept going and he also walked all the way up to the 11th tower, which was one of the highest ones. So I felt incredible admiration for him. He was working hard, exercising, and I'm sure he had a nice time. So shout out to him as well. Reflections on the wall. Standing on the Great Wall of China is humbling. It's hard to believe that something so enormous, stretching thousands of miles, was built so long ago, often by hand and in harsh conditions. There's a famous phrase said by Chairman Mao Zedong. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, "He who has not climbed the Great Wall is not a true man." This is an old Chinese saying. I didn't fully understand it, but now I've climbed the wall 3 times, as I actually climbed it on a school trip in 2014 to Beijing with my favourite teacher, Mr. Wu. So now I fully grasp it and understand what he meant.
"And yet you climbed it in your trainers, puffing like a kettle. That's the bulldog spirit, Fraser."
Thanks, Winston, me old chap. There is something unshakably human about the wall. It's a reminder of both our limits and our ambitions. It's a metaphor for life. That even when it's tough and you feel you have no steam, you can't keep going, you can. You can always find that next step, that next watchtower. Keep on going. Lastly, a few tips for those visiting the wall. Of course, bring good walking shoes. The stairs are no joke. Some of them are uneven. You actually have to climb up using your hands. Go early. Make the most of the day. Don't arrive too late, sort of afternoon, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Then you won't be able to enjoy the full beauty and attempt to walk as much as the wall as possible. Certainly bring water and snacks. There are stations in certain areas and certain watchtowers where you can buy food and drink from local vendors who have brought their stuff along with them, but try to bring your own water, I'd say, at least, and maybe some fruit or crisps or something like that. And lastly, don't rush. The sections are long and wild, but they're there to be enjoyed. Walk slowly, enjoy the view, pace yourself, and as Chairman Mao said, become a true man.
"The Great Wall may have been built to keep enemies out, but it welcomes all those who seek wonder. Let me put it this way. To walk the Great Wall is to step into the soul of a civilization, a triumph of stone, sweat, and stubbornness. Rather like a Sunday roast, but with fewer potatoes. If you ever get the chance, go. And take a moment to stop, breathe, and imagine the footsteps of those who came before you.
That's a wrap on today's episode of English with Fraser. I hope you enjoyed and learned something new. Remember, mastering English is all about immersing yourself in natural content. After all, we're making English effortless, one episode at a time. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Keep going. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and most importantly, share with a friend, family member, or colleague who also may be learning English. I'll be back soon with more natural English content. Until then, keep practicing, listening, and enjoy the journey. Bye for now.